told Pastor a minute ago, I said, we need to just take 2 minutes and ask everybody to move up to the front. My goodness. I have to look way back. I can't even tell who you are back there. I tell you. I think some would probably leave the church if we ask them to move up, though, so we might. Acts chapter 2, if you would. Acts chapter 2. I like what Brother Carter said a minute ago, and I was actually going to open up the sermon with the same thing. You know, today we were supposed to do it back on Valentine's Day, but we didn't, obviously. We postponed it till today, this I Love My Church Sunday. And we've had the posters up, and you all got your little magnets that say it on there. And, you know, and a lot of churches for Valentine's Day and around that time, they'll have that same Sunday. I Love My Church Sunday. It's nothing new. It's a popular theme to have around that time of year at church. Let me just ask you something. Do you love your church? Do you love your church? I'm not asking, do you love coming to church? I love coming to church. You know, these past couple of weeks we've been at home and going into the living room and sitting down and watching the television and church on television is not the same. There is no replacement for coming to church and being there in person, worshiping the Lord together with your church family. Amen. And hearing the preacher, and I understand, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful we were able to watch live streams from other churches. That was a blessing, but it wasn't my church. They were a blessing. I enjoyed the services. I got a blessing from the sermon. They were challenging. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't Trinity Baptist Church, the church that I belong to. Do you love your church? Do you love the church where God has placed you? Specifically, I think if we asked everybody, do you love your church or do you love the church? We would all say amen to that. Now, if we got more specific, though, pay attention to the question. Do you love the church, the local church where God has placed you? Now, I understand from time to time in our lives that changes. God moves us to different areas, moves us to a new town, moves us to a new state, sometimes to another country, and we are forced to find a new local church. And I know also that there's a smorgasbord of independent fundamental Baptist churches in this area. But for some reason, I shouldn't say for some reason. By God's will, if you're a member of this church here at Trinity Baptist Church tonight, God placed you here. Amen. Do you love it? You know, we use that verse a lot of times with husbands and wives to love each other as Christ also, what? Loves the church and gave himself for it. Do we love the church that way? He's our example. Do we love the church? You know, we all know the basic truth that there's not a perfect church that you're going to attend. Because we're human. The church is made up of people. It's not the building. It's the people in it. They're saved. They're born again. They've gathered together in unity to worship God under the same doctrine and the same beliefs, the same standards. They worship together that way, but we are human. There's not a perfect, there's not a church that you find with perfect people. Let's put it that way. But that does not give us the reason to not love the church where God's put us. Or the people in that church. You know, tonight I want this sermon to be an encouragement to you. We're taking a pause from our study there in John. We'll get back to that next week. I do have 9 points to cover tonight. Now that is a lot for me. I will try to do them quickly. We'll get out before midnight, I promise you that. But no, seriously, they're short. But I want this to be an encouragement to you tonight and to myself. as a church? How much do we love our church, where God has placed us? And these are things that can help us. The title of the message is The Church That We Should Grow to Love and Become. You know, you hear the term a lot, especially with couples. You hear the term, you ever use the term, you know, I fell in love with my wife, or I fell in love with my husband. You ever use that term before? It's not really an accurate term, is it? You don't fall into love. You fall into love, it's going to fall out from under you, right? You grow in love with one another. And that continues on over the years. Let me ask you something. You couples that are married, you know, since you've been married, have there ever been times when that love has been tested? You don't have to answer that out loud. If you've been married for any amount of time, that love gets tested from time to time. We find out new things that we didn't know while we were dating. You know, we end up having to get used to things, adjust to things, and our love grows. It should, at least. Amen? It grows in that way. The longer we're married, the more we grow to love one another. It's the same thing with the church. When you get saved and baptized and you're added to this church, the longer you're here, the longer your love should grow for this church, for one another. So here's some things that, just 9 points very quickly, that to help us to learn to grow to love our church and how to become, what kind of church should we become as a result, okay? First of all, number one, let's read our text here in Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verse 42 through verse 47. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. These are things that if we grow to love our church, this is what our church will become. All right, number one, this church that we should grow to love and become has a hunger to hear the Word of God. I hope that you don't come to church and we look forward to the fellowship, we look forward to seeing everyone, we look forward even to the singing and stuff, and then for the message, we grin and bear it. I hope it's not that way. You know, I hope we don't just, let's just get through this, you know. It's not something that we feel like at the end. We did our duty as a Christian. Do you hunger for the Word of God? Do you hunger for the Word of God? You know, in verse 42 there, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued how? Steadfastly. They desired it. They wanted it. They made sure that they were firm in learning what the Word of God had to say, had to teach to them. They had a commitment to this. Folks, as a church, we must be committed to allowing the Word of God to work in us. Are you hungry for that? You know, let the Word of God, you know, when you hear the preaching, whether it's our pastor up here preaching or myself, or when we have special speakers, when there's a missionary. I remember years ago we had a missionary come, and all he did was read a chapter out of the Bible, and he was done. That was it. He might have said a few words, and that was it, in addition to it. But even if it's a message like that, can God speak to a heart through that? Sure he can. It all boils down to, do we have a commitment and a hunger, and are we steadfast, like a word that was used here, continually to hear the Word of God being preached and allow it to work in us? We must be committed to allowing the Word of God to work in us. You know, a God-honoring church, you think about this, stays connected to God. Take this early church, for example. It says they continued steadfastly in breaking of bread and in prayers and the doctrine. How often did they come together in this early church? How often did they come together to hear the word of God? Daily. What if Pastor got up and said, okay, folks, starting next week, we're going to have church every day from now on? You think about that for a second. What would be our reaction? I can see some people smiling. They're kind of like, oh, where's he going with this one, you know? Could you imagine? Now, let me ask you something else. Do we all have to come together as a church every day to be encouraging with one another through the Word of God? No. How often do you stay in contact with other people from the church throughout the week? How easy is it for us to stay in contact with one another now? Now, some people might think it's a little impersonal one way or the other, whether it's through a text or a phone call or in person. But to be an encouragement steadfastly through the Word of God with one another. One thing that I like about that our youth group does, it's not the only thing I like about them, but you know, one thing that I do, I enjoy watching them do is they have a group text that they do together. And in the mornings, they share with one another the devotions they had that morning. That's a blessing. Sometimes I sneak over and I look at my daughter's text or my son's text on their phone. I should, amen. It's every right, I'm a dad. But I look and see, and it's one of the other teens sharing what the Word of God said to them this morning. What a blessing. Continuing steadfastly daily in the Word of God. They have a hunger. We should have a hunger for the Word of God as a church. They studied the Scriptures together. They learned from one another. They edified one another. They enjoyed one another's company and the Word of God. That was the way that it went through. And one of several reasons, you think about this. We have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We've just talked about how we're getting ready to have revival services. We have conferences with missions conferences, preaching conferences. We go to some, you know, like the church growth conference, the bus conference. Why are all those things so important for a church? You know why? Because we as a church need to have a love for hearing the Word of God being preached. From learning from God's Word and applying it to our lives as a church. You know, I know, I've heard, you know, we all hear things from the Word of God, and some things are harder to, you know, they're not impossible. God tells us they're not grievous. But some things are harder for some folks to obey than others. You know what's encouraging to me is the things I have hard times with, I see others doing it. And that encourages me to do it too. That encourages me to keep doing what's right. The more we're together, just like we see in this passage here, the more we come together and hear the Word of God being preached and we hunger for that, we desire it as a church, the more that happens, the Bible teaches, the more unified we become in spirit. The more functional we become as a church, the more work we get accomplished for the will of God and in the work of God. They prayed together. They broke bread together. They heard the Word of God being taught together. They practiced the ordinances given to the church together. They had a desire to hear the Word of God being preached. Folks, I hope you have a desire for that tonight. I hope you have a desire anytime there's a chance to open this book and read it and learn from it, you're there. Develop that hunger. Develop it. Number two, very quickly. This church that we should grow to love and become is excited and exciting. Now let me go, let me tell you where we're going. What is the secret to a church that's exciting? Look in the second part again of verse 43. Verse 43, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Now it says there that the apostles did it. Who did the work through the apostles? We know who that was. It was God. Through God's power, many wonderful things were done. Bus workers, let me ask you something. You're not the only one, so don't get nervous about it. Where did God fit in your bus route this morning? Sunday school teachers, where did God fit in your Sunday school class this morning? Choir, when we were practicing earlier, when we sang just a few minutes ago, where did God fit in our singing? Where does God fit in right now during the service? When we go to work tomorrow, when we go to school tomorrow, when we're at home with our families, where does God fit in? You know, one of the reasons sometimes that you'll see a church, stop seeing a church do great things for God, is because they've decided to leave God out of it. God no longer gets the glory in it. God's not the one that we strive to honor first and foremost. The church that honors God, in that kind of a church, you're going to see things happen that only God can do. You understand what I'm saying there? You get that? In a church that honors God, that puts Him first, that gives Him the glory and the honor that He deserves, those are the kind of churches that you're going to see things that only God can do. This church right here, it was not the apostles in their own power doing great signs and wonders. You look at the great signs and wonders they did. They're listed, especially out in the book of Acts. They're listed one after another, after another, after another. And you know who did it? God did. Now, He used them to get it done. But God is the one that got the honor and the glory, and the only one the credit can be given to. Folks, and I praise the Lord. We see God do things at Trinity Baptist Church that only God can get the credit for. It's nothing that we do. Now, praise the Lord, you know, God uses us. You know, it's a blessing to be able to work in the bus ministry. It's a blessing to be able to teach a Sunday school class. It's a blessing to get up here and preach. It was a blessing for years to be a missionary. But not a single bit of that was because of myself, or if you're a teacher or a bus worker or whatever you do, our pastor. Nothing we do in this church is all because we did it. It is because God did it through us. Powerful things of God will only be done in a God-honoring church. Listen, we need to remember it is His church. It's not our church. Now, I know we're a part of this church, but it's God's church. It belongs to Him, and everything that gets done in this church is done through God's power, through God's grace, God's mercy, through His blessing. His mission is what gets accomplished here. It's being done according to His purpose, being done in His power. But praise the Lord, we get to be a part of it, don't we? We get to be used in His service and in His purpose. We need to learn to recognize God in everything that we do, especially here at church. God gets the glory for it. And by the way, you think of a byproduct of this. When we learn that, hey, listen, God's getting the glory for what's going on here, it motivates us. It motivates us. It motivates us all of a sudden, you know, in my Sunday school class, this is being done for God's glory. We need to make sure it's done right. We need to be excited about it. And my bus route, you know, those kids that come in on those bus routes, they're coming in because God has has worked that out. Where you think of how much of a miracle the bus ministry really is. You know, if you know, Ed and I go out and, you know, we knock doors on Saturday there, and if you see two men like me and Brother Ed coming up to your door, and you have no idea who we are, and we come up to you and we ask you, will you let your kids come to church with us? It is a miracle of God. Anyone ever says yes. But they do. To God be the glory. That's one of the wonders and signs that we see in the early church. They still happen today, folks. Number three, verse 44 and 45. Says, all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man have need. There's a sense in a church like this, there's a sense of belonging. Belonging. You know, we see folks come. Oh, if you stay in any church, it is any church, you'll see this happen. But if you stay in a church for any amount of time, you'll see people come. But unfortunately, you also see people go. And when they go, it hurts. You know why? We're a family of God. There's a sense of belonging that's there. A sense of belonging. You know, if some of y'all are here with your kids sitting with you tonight. Spencer, why do you get to go home with your mom and dad tonight? Or do you? Why? You what? You live with them. Are you part of the Wilhite family? Luke, are you part of the Wilson family? So you're probably going to go home with them, aren't you? You probably live with them still, don't you? Yeah, for right now, at least, right? You know where we're going with this? When God puts you, when God laid on your heart to come to this church, whether it was through salvation and then you were baptized and made a member of this church, or you came from, you moved into the area, or whatever the situation was, and God placed you here at Trinity Baptist Church, from that point on, you belong to this family. Now, I know there's times in families where situations break them apart, and it's never a good thing. It's never something that should happen. Sometimes that happens in our church family. I understand that. But it hurts when those times happen, doesn't it? There's a sense of belonging. God's made us that way. If God's placed you here in this church, then you belong in this family, this local church. This church ought to provide a warm, extended family to all who come into it. And it is a two-way street. There's many that become part of a church, but you can tell they're never comfortable in it. You know why? Because something is still keeping them from being a part of this family. A belonging to this family. Being loyal to this local church. Faithful to it, I guess is the word more to say. Our church ought to go out of its way when we have new people come in and join our family. You remember what it was like when your first baby was born or your second baby was born or whoever it was? Remember when there was a newborn brought into your family? You didn't go, oh, great, there's another one. I hope you didn't, right? You didn't say, oh, man, this one, I can tell already, it's not going to be as good as the last one. You didn't make remarks like, I hope you didn't make remarks like that, did you? No, you rejoiced in every single one of them. And there wasn't, you know, I know sometimes, you know, tend to have favorites with our kids, but, you know, if we were honest and we tell them right up front, that we love each one of them just as much. Even when they go the wrong way, our love does not diminish, does it? No. We should go out of our way to support one another, to help one another, not divide one another. We should learn to be able to rely on one another, to trust one another. That's the way God has put this family together. That's one of the beauties of our church, of a church family, I'm saying, is that sense of belonging and that sense of help and love that comes with it. Pastor was talking this morning about the love that we have. As Christ also loved the church. Do we love one another as Christ loved the church? That's a challenge to us all in itself right there. Number four. Look in verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look down in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. There's also a strong outward reach in the church that we should love and become. A strong outward reach. I praise the Lord. Throughout all the years that I've had the privilege of being here at Trinity Baptist Church, there has always been a strong outreach. Whether it's through missions, through visitation, through the bus ministry, through our own personal witness throughout the week. There's always been an emphasis on an outreach. We must reach beyond the walls of our church and minister and share the gospel with all those around us. Folks, I understand, you know, that it's hard, especially this past year. It's just been so nuts with visitation, trying to plan, you know, give people places to go and, you know, ways we can still be, you know, giving out these John and Romans. We put them in bags, and sometimes, you know, more and more, we're starting to knock on more doors. Amen? Not just hang those bags on the doors, but talk to people. It is not against the law to talk to people. Amen? But you know, even in our families, you know, we get to the point. You ever heard the phrase R4 and no more? You ever heard that before? Well, my four kids are saved. My family's saved. We're taken care of. We're happy in our church. We'll just sit here and do what we do. But that's not what God says, isn't it? Yes, your family's saved. Praise the Lord. That was your priority. But now that they're saved, let's move out. There's more to be saved. There's more that need to know the Lord. There's more that need to hear the gospel. And yes, there's so many opportunities here at this church alone. Even if we did not have, as a church, a visitation program, that does not leave us off to just do whatever we want. It is still a command to every Christian to be a witness. Your own personal witness. You might not be a part of the bus ministry. Maybe you work during the week and you just cannot make it, even if you wanted to. You can't make it to the visitations during the week that we have. How often do you talk to people? How often does God open a door for you to be a witness? We need to have an outreach, a heart for an outreach, to reach out to those that need to hear the gospel. I don't know who it is that said this. There was no name on it. But a quote was made, "The church is the only collective group in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members." Now think about that for a second. The church is the only collective group in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. What benefit can we be to Fauquier County as a church? Not just Fauquier. We got people that live in Culpeper, Prince William County. The Wilhites live in another country somewhere on the other side there. How much of an outreach do we have that's available to us? There's another quote. It's more of a poem. God so loved the world, not just a few, the wise and great, the noble and true, or favored class, or rank, or hue. God loves the world. Do you? The fifth thing that we should see in this type of church, verse 46 there. The third, right down in the middle of the verse there. It says they did eat their meat with what? Gladness. Gladness. Now, I don't think it's talking about there they had a steak and they were happy. Steaks always make you happy, amen? But I don't think that's where it was going with that. It says there that they did eat their meat with gladness, and we'll get to it here in a minute, but singleness of heart. With gladness. It's a happy church. You know, they're as a missionary, I got to visit a lot of churches. A lot of churches. And most of the churches, honestly, most of the churches we went into, you can tell they were happy. You can tell they were glad they were there. You can tell they were just finding joy in everything that they were involved in and all the ministries and what was going on in the church. You can tell they wanted to be there. But there were some churches, I was looking for a casket up front somewhere. It was like being in a funeral home. Nobody talked to anybody. And we were, you know, as missionaries, usually everybody would come up, shake your hand, say hello, find out what you, you know, what field you're going to and about your ministry and everything. There were some churches, literally, nobody would even come up to our table. Nobody would introduce themselves. You can tell when you were up there preaching that nobody wanted to hear what was being preached from the Word of God. It was a miserable church. Trinity Baptist Church should be a glad church. Are you happy to be here tonight, Chris? Amen. I know he is. Are you happy to be here tonight? Are you happy to be involved in the bus ministry that you went out on this morning? Are you happy to be involved in the Sunday school class that you taught? Or were you happy to be up here in the choir singing? The dozen or so we had tonight, at least. Amen. Were you happy to be up there doing it? Were you glad? Were you glad you get to get in your car this morning and come into the church parking lot and walk inside the building and hear the Word of God being preached? Amen. Were you happy about that? It says there was gladness with these people. You know, this world has formed the idea and we've given it to them. I'm saying collectively as Christians. They have this idea that Christians are no fun. That we're a bunch of miserable wretches. That we never do anything that makes us laugh or have fun, especially in church. Oh, man. God forbid that somebody should bust out laughing during a church service. Or somebody should even crack a smile. One thing I did pay attention to these kind of things, but watching some of the live streams over the past few weeks, I watched a couple different churches, and some of the churches, I don't think we do it, but some of the churches zoom in on people in the audience. And I tell you what, they're caught. You see somebody listening to the messenger, or even just out like a light, they're gone. One of the services I watched had college students in it. I mean, you can tell it was college life. I mean, they were out, just snoring away. I was like, man, get the camera off of them. Go back to the preacher, you know. But you can tell some people just look like they were miserable. Their heart wasn't there. They didn't want to hear what was being preached. They didn't want to be in that church. If they did, then they have a good way of hiding it. You know, how many scriptures, especially when you get to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, Psalm 32, 11, Psalm 105, verse 43, Romans 15, verse 32, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, the list goes on and on and on. You know what all those verses talk about? It talks about the life of a Christian being full of joy, being full of happiness, being full of gladness. Were you glad to be at church today? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you get to live for the Lord? Number six, they were genuine and sincere. We also mentioned that phrase that they were in singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. They were not just going through the motions. They were not pretending. They weren't being hypocritical about it. When they came to church and they sang, they meant what they sang. When the word of God was being preached and they said amen, they said praise the Lord, they're saying hallelujah. You know, I think some of us would crack if we did that. But you know, you think about it, when they said those things and they got excited about the word of God, you know why? Because they were excited about what the word of God had to say. They were excited about living the Christian life. They were excited that the Holy Spirit was convicting them and burdening them to see souls saved. You know what? It talks about there how, now, I don't know. God can do this if he wants still today. It's going to take us getting to work. But 3,000 souls were just added to their church. That's something to be excited about, amen? But you know why that happened? Because somebody was genuine about what they believed about the word of God. And about the gospel, and about being a witness, and sharing the gospel with others, and serving the Lord. They were genuine, they were sincere about it. These people were made up of honest, truthful, and what they really believed and practiced. They practiced what they claimed to be a part of. Folks, that's the church we need to love and become a part of. Amen? To be real in what we say we believe. To be real in what we say we're burdened for. You know, how many times, and I'm just as guilty, how many times do we catch ourselves saying, man, I wish I could come to that church activity, but I just can't. When right here we know if we wanted to be there, we could. If we really cared about what God says, we'd be faithful to them. Any chance, we'd make sure that our schedules, that our jobs, that our classes, that our lives revolved around what happens to do with this book. What happens to do with God's priorities and not ours. God-honoring church is made up of authentic folks that recognize they are nothing but sinners saved by grace. They don't even realize who they are as much as whose they are. Number seven, their worship is exciting. They're in first part of verse 47. First two words, what are they? Praising God. Praising God. Their worship is exciting. God help us not to forget who and why we come to church for. We come to worship God. Who is God? He's our creator. He's our savior. He's our father. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's holy. He's gracious. He's merciful. That is the God we came to worship tonight. And we can keep on going on and on and on. When you sang earlier and you're in the congregationals or in the choir, or when you sang this morning, when you come to church to worship God, did you act like that's the God you came to worship? Did you realize that when you were singing about Him? When you were singing praises to Him? When you pray throughout the week and you thank the Lord for all that He's done and you thank the Lord for the salvation He's given you and you ask Him and you talk to Him throughout the week, do you realize who it is you're talking to? It should reflect in our worship, shouldn't it? You know, prayer is a form of worship. How much we pray reflects what we think about God. How we sing reflects what we think about God. When we listen to the Word of God, how we pay attention and how we respond to the Word of God, that reflects our attitude towards God. Their worship was exciting. You think of Paul and Silas when they were in the jail. What were they busy doing? Pouting? Complaining? What were they doing? Brother Carr, you ever wonder what song they were singing? I wonder if they're singing, like a bird out of prison. I don't know. But they were praising God. Even in jail, even sitting in a prison, in a dungeon, they were praising God. You know why? Because they realized who God was, who God is. And it meant something to them. They were genuine in their praise toward the Lord. They were excited about it. We've heard this phrase before, but what is on the outside is a reflection of what is on the inside. The way you worship God reflects of what's in the heart. It's a reflection of it. Very quickly, number 8. Time's gone away from us here. Verse 47, the second part there, it says, and having favor with all people. A church that loves God, and a church that we should grow to love and become, it keeps a God-honoring testimony with all. That's within the church as well as without the church. Those without. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean we need to agree with the world and everything they do. No way. We know that's not what it's saying there. But we should strive to keep a good testimony as a church. Not just with those within the church, but those out and about. A good testimony with all. If we keep our eyes, here's how this happens. It's very simple. It's not hard to do. Keep your eyes on pleasing God first, and He will give us a good testimony among men. It's as simple as that. We don't have to impress the people in Fauquier County. We don't have to impress our neighbors. Just keep God first in your life. Just obey Him first. He'll take care of the rest. He'll give us a good testimony. And then the ninth thing here, we read it already, but in verse 47, again, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. This kind of a church is a growing church. You know, if we listen to what the Word of God had to say in the first 8 points, the ninth point happens on its own. The church grows. People are added to it. If we put God first here at Trinity Baptist Church, if we're excited about what we do for the Lord, if we have a hunger for the Word of God, if we make people feel welcome here. Now, I'm not saying if they're in sin or anything like that. I'm saying if we love one another, we belong as a family together. People see that. We're exciting in our worship. We're genuine. All those things that we looked at, number 9 is the result of it. The church grows. The part of God, this part here, God accomplishes. We go out and witness, pass out those John and Romans and invite people to church, share our testimony with them, share the plan of salvation with them. We might, and to be honest with you, rarely anymore do you actually knock on a door and are able to win that person to the Lord right there. It happens, but not as often. But you know what? God blesses it. God blesses it. God blesses faithfulness. He does this through us. We have special days like we did today. I love my church Sunday. Here in just a couple months, we're going to have anniversary Sunday. We have that every year. It's a big push. We make it a friend day many times. Sometimes we even have cards that we sign up people and we post them on the back wall. We have homecoming Sunday where we try and get everybody back in here. We have special promotions on the buses. We have special promotions that many times that we do in Sunday school as well. All those things, they're good. They have the same goal in mind in seeing the church grow. And they're all good with good intentions. But it is possible. If we're not careful, it's all meaningless. If we're not careful, Whether it's worth it or not depends on us. What are we willing to allow God to do through us? Because God does the work, but he uses us to get it done. He does it through us. Growth in this church here at Trinity Baptist. How many of y'all want to see Trinity Baptist Church grow? I've been praying specifically for God to add some young people to our church. Amen? I didn't even get in, Pastor. I'm glad you are praying for it. No, I am. I'm just, God's really burdened me, especially to see some young people added to this church. I'm getting tired of describing Dustin and Megan as the young people in our church anymore, young couple in our church. The young marrieds class I was a part of, they're not too young married anymore. We are not. I should include myself in on that. You know what? That depends on us, folks. God wants to do it. He wants our church to grow. He has a desire more than any of us to see this church grow. But that depends on us. Church in this growth depends on how much we allow God to work through us. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Saturday mornings on visitation. Every day. It's an everyday thing, folks. It's an everyday life. When we allow God to use us every day to spread the gospel, invite others to the house of God, God will cause them and touch their hearts and they'll come. We'll see this church grow. We'll see souls come down the aisle and get saved. Amen? It'd be a blessing to see somebody in the baptistry, to see somebody getting baptized. We say, get the baptistry water stirred again. It'd be a blessing to fill up these Sunday school rooms downstairs again. It can happen. But it's up to us. It's up to us. God will make it happen if we're willing. So to close this all up, let me just give you, and I know we've gone over a little bit. Alexander Gustav Eiffel built a tower. You can probably guess which one he built. The citizens of Paris thought it was an eyesore and wanted to tear it down. Mr. Eiffel fought and defended it with everything that he had to keep it from those who wanted to destroy it. He believed that the tower was destined for greatness. Today, it's one of the wonders of the modern world. We all know where the Eiffel Tower is and what it looks like. It's a picture in everybody's mind already. He fought for it. Folks, fight for your church. Fight for this church. Stand up for it. Stand behind it. Believe in it. Be a part of it. Be faithful to it. And not just to the church, but when I say that, I'm saying we're being faithful to God. Because this is God's church. Be loyal to it. Listen, he has entrusted, we're just getting wrapped up in our Sunday school lessons with stewardship and everything. Last month we studied stewardship. He has entrusted Trinity Baptist Church to us. This is our family that God's put us in. Fight for it. You dads, would you fight for your family? I think you would. Fight for this church family. It's the local church that goes by Trinity Baptist Church. Just as Christ did and that it does day after day, do you love this church? Do you love it? Do you defend it? Do you believe it is destined for greatness? Yes, it's God's church, but we're a part of it. And he uses us to get his work done. We need to believe in those things. Be willing to fight and work for it. Don't give up on it. Don't replace it. Don't replace church with something else. Maybe tonight you're here and something's gotten between you and your church. for whatever reason. Only you and God know. But church just isn't what it used to be to you. I'm talking specifically about this local church. I think it's time to get those things out of the way and love the church where God's put you. Love the church that you belong to. Be faithful to it. Have a hunger to hear the word of God and all those things that we talked about. There's four bones in a church. There's a wishbone. He wishes someone else would do everything about something else. There's a jawbone that does lots of talking about things that they don't like. There's knuckle bones. They knock down everything. They stir up strife and turn people against one another. But then there's backbones. These are the people that do their part where God's placed them. You know, tonight as we get here in the invitation, just more instrumentalists, you come on ahead. You're here tonight and you're a part of this church. Let me just ask you, and this is a question between you and God. Do you love your church? Do you love this church where God has placed you?